Now, what kind of person would do that? Tie up two women, the way Bonnie and the girl were tied, and then draw up the bed covers. Tuck them in, like sweet dreams and good night. Or the pillow under Kenyon's head. At first I thought maybe the pillow was put there to make his head a simpler target. Now I think, no. It was done for the same reason the mattress box was spread on the floor. To make the victim more comfortable. But speculations such as these, though they absorbed Dewey, did not gratify him or give him a sense of getting somewhere. A case was seldom solved by fancy theories. He put his faith in facts, sweated for and sworn to. The quantity of facts to be sought and sifted, and the agenda planned to obtain them, promised perspiration aplenty, entailing as it did the tracking down, the checking out of hundreds of people, among them all former River Valley Farm employees, friends, and family. Anyone with whom Mr. Clutter had done business, much or little. A tortoise crawl into the past. For as Dewey had told his team, we have to keep going till we know the Clutters better than they ever knew themselves. Until we see the connection between what we found last Sunday morning and something that happened maybe 5 years ago. The link. Got to be one. Got to. Dewey's wife dozed, but she awakened when she felt him leave their bed, heard him once more answering the telephone, and heard, from the nearby room where her son slept, sobs, a small boy crying. Paul? Ordinarily, Paul was neither troubled nor troublesome. Not a whiner, ever. He was too busy digging tunnels in the backyard or practicing to be the fastest runner in Finney County. But at breakfast that morning, he'd burst into tears. His mother had not needed to ask him why. She knew that although he understood only hazily the reasons for the uproar around him, he felt endangered by it. By the harassing telephone and the strangers at the door and his father's worry-wearied eyes. She went to comfort Paul. His brother, 3 years older, helped. Paul, he said, you take it easy now, and tomorrow I'll teach you to play poker. Dewey was in the kitchen. Marie, searching for him, found him there, waiting for a pot of coffee to percolate and with the murder scene photographs spread before him on the kitchen table. Bleak stains, spoiling the table's pretty fruit-patterned oilcloth. Once he had offered to let her look at the pictures. She had declined. She had said, I want to remember Bonnie the way Bonnie was. And all of them. He said, maybe the boys ought to stay with Mother. His mother, a widow, lived not far off, in a house she thought too spacious and silent. The grandchildren were always welcome. For just a few days. Until. Alvin, do you think we'll ever get back to normal living? Mrs. Dewey asked. Their normal life was like this. Both worked, Mrs. Dewey as an office secretary, and they divided between them the household chores, taking turns at the stove and the sink. When Alvin was sheriff, I know some of the boys teased him. Used to say, look a yonder, here comes Sheriff Dewey, tough guy, totes a six-shooter. But once he gets home, off comes the gun and on goes the apron. At that time, they were saving to build a house on a farm that Dewey had bought in 1951, 240 acres several miles north of Garden City. If the weather was fine, and especially when the days were hot and the wheat was high and ripe, he liked to drive out there and practice his draw, shoot crows, tin cans, or in his imagination roam through the house he hoped to have, and through the garden he meant to plant, and under trees yet to be seeded. He was very certain that someday his own oasis of oaks and elms would stand upon those shadeless plains. Someday. God willing. A belief in God and the rituals surrounding that belief. Church every Sunday, grace before meals, prayers before bed, were an important part of the Dewey's existence. I don't see how anyone can sit down to table without wanting to bless it, Mrs. Dewey once said. Sometimes when I come home from work, well, I'm tired. But there's always coffee on the stove, and sometimes a steak in the icebox. The boys make a fire to cook the steak, and we talk, and tell each other our day, and by the time supper's ready, I know we have good cause to be happy and grateful. So I say thank you, Lord. Not just because I should, because I want to. Now, Mrs. Dewey said, Alvin, answer me. Do you think we'll ever have a normal life again? He started to reply, but the telephone stopped him.